Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus. Everybody stand up for the reading of the word. There's no reason for you not to be standing up unless you're disabled. Otherwise, you're, we won't go there. Just stand up. Again, this is part of my responsibility is to teach and teach you how we need to act and what we need to do in the house of God. And this is a tradition that we do. We stand up for the reading of the word. So the long passage of scripture, you will know it if you've been around church at all. Is famous for this time of the year, for the Christmas time. And I'm going to read this all, and you will recognize some of this from the play the other night. We didn't necessarily read this, but you may notice the vernacular that's with it. So, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Anybody recognizing this story? It's our traditional Christmas nativity scene, as we would call it. Or leading up to it. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Simply saying, it was about time for her to drop her baby. All right. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. For those of you that did not realize why we have the angels and everything and the shepherds and such in the nativity scene like we did the other night, majority of it comes from this story right here. So let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Jesus, I ask you to touch every life, every heart. Lord, I feel like you've put something in my heart to share with everybody tonight. I know I'm nothing, I'm nobody. But God, your people is great and you love them. And I'm asking you would help me to be able to say something to help somebody, Lord, become more in the kingdom. I love you and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, we were on our way to vacation, and I want to think it was at Tybee Island, Georgia. Has anybody ever been to Tybee Island, Georgia? It is basically, they say, the beach of Savannah, Georgia. It is right off the borders of Savannah. It's beautiful. It's kind of cool. But I'm pretty sure we was going there, and we had plans to stop halfway somewhere around the Lookout Mountains to spend the night. Not thinking about the fact that a tornado had just recently come through that area. A few days ahead of that, I just assumed that we could find a hotel. And not realizing that there was people had been displaced because their homes had been destroyed and it was in hotels. And there were utility workers for the Texas that were also staying in them homes or in them hotels. Every time I called a hotel, we're sorry, we have no room. There's no vacancy here. There's no room. And if you know Sister Cheryl, she has in her mind that certain things has got to be done a certain way. And if it doesn't go that way, it can get just a little bit tense. Anybody ever been on that side of the fence with Sister Cheryl? Can I get an amen? I see hands and nods are going along. So, driving several miles and making several phone calls. And she said, you've got to find it. It was getting late. It's like 1 or 2 o'clock. Finally, I found one of Sister Cheryl's favorite hotels for us to stay in. We found a Motel 6 to finally stay in. And she was not happy with this. I didn't take the time to call ahead and get a hotel. I had no idea that, Brother David, I'd have this issue at all. But unfortunately, over and over and over, we found no vacancy. And tonight, I want to talk for just a short little bit on that subject, that thought. No vacancy. Chapter 2, what I just read to you of Luke, as long as I can remember, this passage always is the picture of what the Christmas nativity is all about. How many has ever been to a Christmas play that you remembered? We didn't read it this year, but where Luke chapter 2 has been read at some part in time or another. And this is the nativity. We find, as we had here Sunday night, baby Jesus. And we had a real baby Jesus. It wasn't Jesus, it's a baby Jay. And you guys need to remember baby Jay. He's actually in the hospital. And they're putting a feeding tube in baby Jay because he's struggling to gain weight. So y'all pray for Amber's baby boy, Johnny. Pray for him. We should have prayed earlier. I forgot about that. Please forgive me. But we had the baby in the manger. Well, I guess they was holding him. They didn't actually lay him in a manger. But you think about, as pretty as it was the other night, a beautiful picture we had up here, as pretty as it was, it wasn't like that, okay? It no doubt stunk. It was a place they kept their animals. We don't know what all animals they had in there, but I would guess they probably had chickens, they probably had pigs, probably had sheep, might have had some cows, might have had some camels, might have had some donkeys. And no doubt, Preston, it probably was really stinky in there. How many went to Return to Bethlehem with us at Massaville that night? We got around some of them animals. They kind of got to stinking just a little bit, did they not? Anybody smell them? I smelled them. And the smell of the animals and the poop, okay, and the pee probably that was in that place. This was a horrible place and no doubt a very unhealthy and unsanitary place to give birth to a baby. Would anybody here want to give birth to a baby in a manger with all of that around you? Nobody. No woman would want to, and no man would want his wife to be in this place. But as we read and tell this story year after year, there are things that we just kind of jump over in the story. We concentrate on the fact that baby Jesus was born, and we concentrate on the fact that we say the shepherds showed up, and Mary and Joseph, the swaddling clothes, and we overlook a lot of these things. If you can put verse 7 back up there for me again, Jacob, can you find that? And we tell this story over and over and we forget it. But just a little over a week from today is going to be Christmas. And I will look at verse 7 there again. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Everybody say this next part with me. Because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. Here's my question. I understand, Brother David, it was busy. So if you don't know the backdrop of the story, basically it was this. Mary and Joseph was from Jerusalem. Caesar Augustus, we read over it real fast, but Caesar Augustus wanted to tax everybody. But in tax, you had to go back to your home city and pay your tax at your home city. So everybody from everywhere that was a part of Jerusalem made the way back to Jerusalem. So the streets was crowded. Ellie, the streets was busy. And everybody was trying to find a place to stay that night. And everybody was there. Now, you would think Joseph would have called ahead, right? His wife is 9 months pregnant, and you would think that surely he would call ahead and get reservations because he knew his wife was pregnant. But when he got to the streets, busy people all over the place. That's why when we went to return to Bethlehem, we've seen how busy it was. It probably was a lot busier than that. And it was crazy. People pushing. And so he was going, leaving his wife either on the donkey or standing beside the donkey, 9 months pregnant. And she's probably, I know she's the mother of Jesus, but a 9 month pregnant woman is grumpy. Not easy to deal with. I promise you, Sister Cheryl was 9 months pregnant with Bethany. And my pastor at that time, her brother, was being very pushy about finishing building the church at Star of Bethlehem that we go in church and worship in. It wasn't done at that time. We was in the middle of building that thing. And I was in the middle of a renovation of my own house trying to fix things, sheetrock, dust, and everything else. 9 months pregnant. And it was a little tension at times. Finally, one of the young people that was in my Sunday school class comes, hung out with us and went and told my brother-in-law, my pastor, said, "You got to let him finish that house. His wife is pregnant, almost about ready to have this baby, and the house is not fixed. You've got to do something to help." I don't know exactly how he said it, but he ended up giving me a little break and let me finish the house. We got it finished, and Bethany was born. And a week later, we moved into that church across the road that most of you have been to there. But I know what it's like to have a 9 month pregnant wife in a house that's unfinished. I can't imagine, Preston, what it would be like. Now, I know you guys are a little bit, imagine her 9 months pregnant. She's on a donkey for y'all to lodge that night. You can imagine, right? So this is where we're at. And they're trying to find a place to lock. And every door that they go to, "I'm sorry, we have no room. I'm sorry, we have no room. There's no vacancy. Nobody here." And the sign was lit up. It said no vacancy. They'd already turned the lights out, and the innkeeper, he'd probably went to sleep dreaming about all the money that he's making because, man, my rooms are full. My couch is full. I got people staying everywhere. And he probably was dreaming about the money. Everything he's got. But what was it really like that night that Jesus was born? Why? Here's the question that I'm asking this tonight. Why was there no room for Jesus that night? If Mary and Joseph had lived in our time, they could have called ahead and made reservations. You know what Sister Cheryl always makes sure now? Have you made reservations for our stay where we're going to be at? I'm telling you, she's relentless. Have you made reservations? I'll get it. She makes sure. But they have no 1-800 number to call. Like, I was driving down the road seeing the billboard signs, and every time I'd see a hotel, I'd call. "I'm sorry, there's no room." Finally, when I found the Motel 6, we was happy just to get somewhere. But now it's not like that. They didn't have no 1-800 number. They didn't have no fancy apps like we got nowadays or computer websites you can go to. They didn't have no fancy apps like hotels.com. And I go to IHG a lot of times, Holiday Inn Club, or Holiday Inns or whatever. And I go to these things and I find the best price, the cheapest thing that I can to be able to go, cheapest place I can find, but also the best place we can go for the money, because Sister Cheryl don't like Motel 6. They didn't have Verbo, vacation rentals by owners. And matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something we can't imagine. They didn't have a phone. Red phone, right? They didn't have a computer. Matter of fact, if your phone was to ring while Mary and Joseph ran, it might scare them to death. What is that? They couldn't imagine that. All they could do was rely on walking up, knocking on the door, and just seeing. They just come in there the last minute. And I know we might be giving Joseph a hard time about coming in the last minute, but I haven't done the study how far it took for them to get from where they were going to getting to Jerusalem. But Brother Texas, can you imagine letting your wife be on a donkey packing that baby boy and you going along and trying to rush her along? So, honey, we got to hurry up. All the hotels are going to be gone. She'd be fine. Yeah, you think she'd be fine. Sitting on that donkey 9 months pregnant. So we can't fault Joseph a whole lot. He was doing the best he could to get his wife there. But when he did get there, and he began to see people everywhere. No doubt, he knocked on door after door. The Bible lets us know they couldn't find a room. Here's my question. If they had knocked on my door and pressed in all of my rooms had been filled to capacity in the inn, I'm asking you today, what is the real reason that Mary had to turn to a stable and give birth to the Savior of the world in a hayfield manger? Was it really because there was no room in the inn? That's my question tonight to every one of us. I know the story says there was no room in the inn, but I'm asking you today, what's the real reason? What's the real reason? I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe the real reason is because the innkeeper was not willing to give up his own personal space to make room for the coming of Jesus Christ to this world. Because I want to think that if I'm in that place and all of a sudden I get a knock at the door and it's been knocking all day long, but I look out that door and I hear a man say, you know what, my wife's about ready to give birth to a baby. And I see some pregnant lady out there on a donkey. And I could see the frustration on her face. And I could see the desperation on her face. Brother Bobby, I want to think that I would say, you know what? I don't have any other rooms. But I've got a stable. And I tell you what I'll do. I'll let you have my bed. And I'll go stay in the stable tonight in case they have that baby. That way there'll be a room for you in the place that I usually stay. I'll make room for you in my space. I would hope that I would allow them to stay. I would hope that I could be thoughtful enough and kind enough to look and think, you know what? I'd love for you to come stay in my bed. I'll make room for you in my space, in my own personal space, and I'll go stay. I'll go stay in the manger. Jesus shouldn't have had to been born in a manger. Should have been some room made. That innkeeper should have made some room for Jesus in his life. Now here's a question. I'll go farther than that tonight. How many innkeepers do we got in this place today that's not making room for Jesus to be birthed inside of your life? Now I know we got young people, we got adults alike in this place today, but we're making room for all kinds of things in our life. But I wonder, will we not, praise God, give up our personal space to let Jesus birth something inside of our life, that Jesus could come live inside of our heart? I'm going to get up in all of our stuff here tonight and talk to you for a little while, because you got time for Snapchat, you got time for Facebook, and you got time for YouTube, and you got time for the news station and the weather stations and binge watching this and your boyfriends and your girlfriends and your spouses. But do we got room for Jesus in our life? Do we? Hey, we can come up here and we can put up on a show all day long we want to. But what you do in this building is not as important. What you do back at your house, is there room for Jesus at your house? Or do you got a no vacancy sign up that says, Jesus, I don't have room for you today. I got room for you on Sunday. I got room for you at the house of God. I'll get up and I'll walk a little bit to get people off my back. I'll go pray at the altar a little while to get people off my back and make them think I'm doing all right. But my question is this. I wonder if Jesus feels the same rejection in Christmas of 2022 as Mary and Joseph felt on that night in Bethlehem. Is he still feeling rejected by the innkeepers? Has anybody ever heard this terminology? I accepted the Lord Jesus into my heart. Anybody ever heard that? Come on, a show of hands. You've ever heard that statement? I accepted the Lord Jesus into my heart. You know what that means? I've allowed the Lord to come into my heart and live. I've made space for Him to come inside my heart. But Brother David, I wonder, in 2022, in Christmas time of this season, are we still rejecting Him when He wants to come and live in our heart? I know it might would be quiet here tonight, and that's okay. But this is something serious tonight, because we need to understand, does them words, "no room," sound too familiar to Jesus? How many times have we made altar calls and people not come pray? How many times have we made invitations that say, "Hey, why don't you take what you got back home with you? You don't have to just take it here at this altar, but you can put Jesus in your heart and you can take Him back home with you. And you can influence your home. And you can influence your job. And you can influence your workplace. And you can influence your school. You can make a difference, because when you take Jesus with you out of this place and you make room for Him in your heart." But once we get out of here and we walk out them doors, or we get in our vehicles, or we get back on the bus and we go back home, or we say, "Okay, Jesus, I'm going to leave you right here, because there's no room, there's no vacancy for you in my life right now." I wonder how Jesus must feel after 2,000 years of continual years of being rejected, of people who hang up a no vacancy sign on their locked door to their heart. Sister Penny, are we continually putting a no vacancy sign up? The fact that the innkeeper would not give up his bed of his room is the real reason that we recite the words of the Christmas story year after year, because there were no room for them in the inn. Could it be that you and I are more like the innkeeper than maybe we think we are? Have we told Him Sunday after Sunday, "There's no room. There's no vacancy in my life"? Do we make sure that this no vacancy sign is lit, it's visible for Jesus to see before He knocks on our door and starts asking permission to enter in? Now see, right now already, some of you may already be putting your sign up already tonight. Say, "You know what? He's going to be asking us to come to the altar. I'm going to go ahead and put my sign up right now. No vacancy. Jesus, You ain't getting in here. You're not getting my personal space." Because here's the deal. Jimmy, no doubt it'd been a busy day. I bet he had been so hustled and bustled, I bet his room was turned upside down. I bet all kinds of things was drug out, and it was a mess in there. And he was afraid to ask Jesus to come stay in his bed, because he realized how messy his life was. And this is why so many times we're afraid to let Jesus into our room, because we know our lives are messy. We know our lives is all messed up. But whether you know it or not, this is why Jesus came to the earth in the first place, to fix our messed up lives, praise God, and give us hope of making eternal life forever and ever. And He's knocking on hearts' doors. But has He heard me reject Him this year for another 365 days in 2022? Is He ever going to stop getting rejected? From Bethlehem manger until today, but tonight, make sure that I have the welcome invisible for Jesus to see. Sister Penny, I fear the problem today is this: our lives are so full of everything that we just don't have room for Jesus. Do you have room for Jesus tonight? Just to come in here and lean against the wall, go through the motions, and maybe you're not going through the motions. Just to get on the van and come and have a chance to do what we do here. No, Tristan, it's got to be more than that. When we walk out these doors, there's got to be something that says, "Jesus, I'm going to take You home with me tonight. I want to make room for You in my life." Is there room at your house for you to be able to find a time to pray and read? And sometimes sit and think about Jesus. Is there room in your life for Jesus? Or do we have a sign up that says, I fear that the words of Jesus in Matthew 19 through 21, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Most of this world, and unfortunately even the church world, has so many treasures upon this earth. So many earthly treasures that it's hard to find place in their lives for Jesus. What do you value more than Jesus? What's more important than make heaven your home? What is more important? Come on, I'm talking to you tonight. Most of you seem like you're listening. I won't be too much longer. I can't. I'm getting to where I can barely even talk right now. It's worth it. Got a new one coming and ain't got here yet. I'd had it. It'd be all right. But if I don't have a mic and I have to scream, I lose my voice tonight. I want somebody to hear me tonight. Are you making room for Jesus? Is there earthly things that you love more than Jesus? Come on, we got to make sure. Because we can't lay up treasures up there. We got to make room for Jesus. Because when Jesus comes knocking and there's no room for Him to stay, Jesus said lay up treasures in heaven. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm almost done. Matter of fact, I'd like Bethany to come. Told you I wouldn't be real long. I will be a few more minutes, but I want her to come. The innkeeper that first Christmas night seemed to care more about the money coming in the business of the night than making room for Jesus to be in his house. I ask you again before I read the closing story. Will you make room for Jesus in your house? Now nearly everybody in here, you hear me? Nearly everyone in this building tonight, excluding maybe one or two, God filled you with the Holy Ghost. There's a few of you who haven't. And you will if you keep hanging around long enough. But just because He fills you with the Holy Ghost one time, it's not all of it, honey. Daily, you got to keep make room for Jesus. You got to keep cleaning out the junk out of your life that you make room for Jesus to come into your life. Keep cleaning out. Because every day, as we go through this life, junk builds up. Whether that junk is hurt and pain. Mike's making me upset here. Whether that hurt, it's hurt and pain. Whether it's just activities that cloud up our mind and our thoughts. Would you stand with me? I'm about to be done. I need that, sweetie. I'm sorry. You have to give me just a second. Just play something for a moment. I'll give it back. Hear me. I close with what is told to be a true story. Whether it is or not, I don't know. It was very fitting for what I'm saying tonight. This Christmas story that involves a boy named David. David is a young man and he's slightly mentally challenged. His parents were very financially secure in life. They lived in a very wealthy suburb. They attended a church at a very respectable place. And they were comfortable with their surroundings and all their friends. And as Christmas season was approaching, church decided, we're going to reenact the Christmas story through the eyes of our children. So they had tryouts and they held tryouts from parts were assigned. Mary and Joseph were the big parts and the baby in the manger was given to the newest baby boy. The newest baby born in the church. But here was a big dilemma. It was David. David wanted to be in the play. What are we going to do with David? Where are we going to place David? He was so easily distracted. He could barely follow instructions. And finally it was decided that he would be one of the sheep. And they would assign an older kid that was also a sheep to help him stay on task and nudge him in the right direction and get him to the proper place in case he forgot what he was doing, supposed to be doing. And they practiced, and finally the big night came. The children were all clothed, they were in their costumes, they looked spectacular, like ours did here the other night in our play. And as the play began, the audience was just absolutely spellbound, and the directors were just ecstatic and at ease, and everything was going perfect as Sister Cheryl's acted like ours did the other night, and every part was being remembered. But throughout the play's performance, little David, he was restless, and he was fidgety. And the other sheep were they were content, and they were laying there quietly and watching the play unfold, all except David. He was so distracted by the lights and the stars and all the other actors, and all went very well until Mary and Joseph entered in and they reached the end. The performance was being played out. It was just so good, and the emotions of the audience was just almost in tears, and everything was going so well planned until Joseph knocks on the innkeeper's door. The innkeeper comes out and just rough and gruff turns them away with words of "No room, we are full," and slams the door in Joseph's face as Mary and Joseph begin to walk away to the stable. At this point, he said that the room, you could feel the gloom and the rejection. You could feel that sanctuary. But at that moment, little David jumps up. He tears off his costume tearfully. And he begins to shout, "No, please, don't leave. You can have my room. You can spend the night in my house. You can sleep in my bed." And then, when the play was over, people just begin to say, "That has to be the best play that we've ever seen. It has to be the best Christmas message that's ever been delivered to our church." Ask this simple question again tonight. Is there a vacancy in your house? Or you got a different sign up? You got it for me? I hope you have this sign up tonight. Because here's the deal. See, somebody, you done put the sign up. You done shut me off. You done done, I'm going to stand account and judgment for one of these days with this stuff. I'm not playing games with you tonight. Because Jesus is coming back. And some of the games that you're playing, you're pushing Jesus out of the way. I'm thankful that you're here, but listen to me. I'm gonna put it to you straight. You got to make heaven a home. If you're not careful, you're going to put a no vacancy on your door, and there ain't going to be nothing left. Okay? I'm serious with you tonight. Even though some of you are not serious with me, I know some of you are, and I thank you. You're engaged with me, and I thank you for that. But hear me. This can change somebody's entire world. We're fixing to go into 2023. And if we're not careful, Jesus is fixing to come back. He's going to split the eastern skies. And if you've not made room for him, you're going to be lost. You're going to go to a devil's hell, a place that was never created. Pastor, being a little hard tonight. I know I'm being a little hard. I'm trying to be hard and let you understand. Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will shut and will sup with him and him with me." I wonder tonight, is there any little Davids out there that would say, "No, Lord, please don't leave. You can come to my house. You can live in my heart." I wonder if there would feel that rejection that you've given him over and over. And I wonder if Jesus doesn't relive that same thing that happened 2,000 years ago. I wonder tonight if I'm more like the innkeeper than I want to think that I am. I want to know tonight, what would you say at Christmas season of 2022? That we turn off the no vacancy of our hearts and we light up a big old sign that says, "Welcome, Jesus. You're welcome here." I'm calling everybody here tonight to find a place and pray and say, "Jesus, I want to make room for you in my life. I want to make room for you. Come on, I'm gonna be better than this." Some of you are kneeling down back there. You'd be better to come up front, because if you're back there praying, you'll get distracted. It'd be easy for you to miss the no vacancy sign. I challenge you to get out of your seat back there. Come to the front, at least the front, a couple pews, and pray up here. Not trying to be hard, not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to help somebody tonight get out of that place that you are. Get that sign, no vacancy, down. Put something up. You know what says? Tells Jesus that He is welcome in your house. It's called repentance. When you open up your heart and say, "Jesus, I want to clean my heart out. I want to empty my soul. I want to empty my heart, God, and let you come inside of me and live in me, God. I'm done." Would you pray? If you're not going to pray, at least respect those who are. Can we do that tonight? Let's talk to Jesus. I see.